This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Aaron Levy, and on behalf of my dear colleague Eduardo Cadava, who's in the back, and the volunteer network that comprises Slot, I'd like to welcome you here tonight to the space of Slot and to share a few words with you about the work that we do here. So this exhibition is a collaboration among various activist groups led by the extraordinary Logish Fantasy Lab, working in partnership with the director, photographer, and social justice advocate Indrani Palchaturi and her collaborator G.K. Reed, with whom we have a long history of working together here, but also the Codex Diagrams Collective, as well as the artists that you'll hear about and just hear from in a few minutes, Raviv Gontro, Elia Vargas, and Amy Yao, among others. We'd like to thank everyone who has contributed to this project, including the many that are here with us tonight, who we trust will be introduced by Daniela and Zuleika. As a volunteer organization and a network of collaborators, we know that a project of this scope and of this ambition could never have taken place without everyone's collaboration and tireless dedication. So thank you to everyone who has come far and wide from across the United States and from Europe to be with us here this week and tonight, and to help us realize and celebrate this incredible milestone. And we hope, last but not least, that you'll stay connected with us, that you'll help us develop new projects, but also that you'll visit our website and access our extensive audio archive of past programs over the past 20 years. So thank you again for joining us this evening. I'm gonna turn things over to Daniela Gandarfer and Zuleika Ayub, who's an absolute pleasure to get to work with on this intense and ambitious project and undertaking. They are the co-founders of the Logish Fantasy Lab. Following that, we'll hear from the artists featured in this exhibition, some of whom are here tonight and some will join by Zoom. And after that, we also invite you, if you're so inclined, to contribute your breath in the form of an NFT to the Right to Breathe initiative in the front gallery. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Hello, my name is Daniela Gandarfer, and I'm one of the co-directors of the Logische Fantasy Lab, an NGO committed to ethically addressing pressing social, environmental, and technological questions of our time. It is an enormous pleasure to welcome you on behalf of the lab to this event and share this space, despite the lingering and for some even lethal uncertainty that surrounds our breaths, be it because of COVID as relentless reminder of the heaviness and the social entanglement of breath and breathing, because of the further and further enhancing inequalities of racism, police violence, air pollution, the thinning of the atmosphere, the shortage of some breaths, and the space taken up by others. And it is this gathering, the sharing rather than the occupying of a space, a time, a project, an atmosphere, and the building of communities, synergies, and collaborations that lies at the very core of the lab, this exhibition, and the gas exchanges and the Right to Breathe initiative. Together, through collaborations across disciplines and regions, we continue to work towards a right to breathe, one that is not imposed on communities and lives from above, but one that comes from precisely the places in which breathing injustices are felt the most. Through the initiative, and especially through this exhibition, we seek to understand what breathing and breathing injustices mean in times of climate change on the one hand and the ongoing digitalization of our lives on the other. Words are insufficient. To begin understanding what breathing means and for whom is an endeavor that exceeds language. It requires all of our senses and sensibilities. It requires, as you will experience when moving through this exhibition and space, attending to oceans breathing, directing our gaze at how fossil fuels disintegrate sustainable futures, recognizing the potential and the toxicity of technology, and listening to the many experiences of communities and individuals struggling for a right to breathe. As we have a wonderful lineup of speakers and artists, much more competent to speak about the sensing of breath and breathing injustices, let me end by saying that this project, as Erin has mentioned, is collaborative all the way down. It is made possible by the contributors, by the contributions of friends, collaborators, and supporters from different places and time zones in the world, some of who are here tonight and have been last night and the last nights. And while it is not possible to provide you with a full list, far from it, we wish to at least thank Slout and Shabria Sturdivan and Arian Wilkerson for their support and generosity, and the artists who gave meaning to ideas, and for the curational powerhouse, Soleika Yup, Jeanette Liu, and Arian Fong, who ran the show with grace, patience, and dedication. Thank you very much. And with that, Soleika, do you want to introduce the artist? Thank you.
Thank you, Daniela. That was a lovely introduction. I'm going to take my mask off just because it's a bit tight. So unfortunately, Amy Yao cannot join us today. This is her piece, Front and Center, which you can read about. It explores kind of the toxic wastelands in Los Angeles and how it affects the disparate communities there. Amy Yao is a contemporary visual artist making work in many different mediums, informed by ideas of waste, consumption, and identity. Her most recent body of work, Soil Analysis, used in ceramics, language, and theories about invasive species and algae-based primers. She is represented by 47 Canal in New York City and is a lecturer in visual arts at Princeton University in New Jersey. Via Zoom, we're very lucky to have Alaya Vargas. Alaya Vargas is an Oakland-based artist, curator, and scholar. He works across multiple mediums, including video, sound, projection, writing, and performance. He is co-founder and co-curator of the Living Room Light Exchange, a monthly salon on new media art and digital culture, and just received his PhD this week in film and digital media at UC Santa Cruz. Vargas, yay, there we go. Anna's raising an infant, I should add, even though it's not in his bio. Vargas has a long history of community radio broadcasting and place-based projects, following an interest in transmission and human, non-human cultural formation. He collaborates widely with artists, musicians, and institutions, and his current work in the back argues for reconfiguring crude oil as media.
Thanks so much for being here, and I feel quite a bit distanced from you all, so excuse as I work into the performance, as it were. It's unfortunate that I can't be there in person to talk to you all about and share an experience of the work with you. So I'm just going to take a few minutes to explain the work that I have. I don't know how questions are going to work, Daniela, Zuleika, and also thank you, Zuleika, for that introduction. And Daniela, that was a lovely introduction to the exhibition in general. There's a conversational component to this work that I would just love to hear from you about, because it's kind of a richness of ideas behind it that I never know how far to go, where to stop, and what is going to interest everyone. Carbon Loops falls in an ongoing exploration of refiguring crude oil as media, and for me that's mostly developed in an exploration of the early oil industry in the United States, which begins in the 1850s in Pennsylvania. And to be clear, there is an enormous history of oil that predates its industrial origin and is a largely erased history in American histories of oil. And these are parts of what I'm really interested in is how the concept of fossil fuel persists at a time when we're rethinking the stakes of what nature is, why do we humans in our various incarnations get to say oil is a fossil fuel, an entity that labors for human productive forces? So for many years now, I've been asking that question through different practices and trying to find ways of talking about it that are non-representational, that is, not talking about or defining oil with words, but rather seeing what it might do were it explored through means that are not words specifically. So in this particular case, in carbon loops, I have used still photographs from the fantastic photographer Jonna Arnold, who takes these sea print photographs of used motor oil and creates these large abstract photographic prints. And I've turned those prints into short 16-millimeter film loops of an abstract ongoing experience. But I've soaked those film strips, the film strips that are in the projectors that you will be looking at or have already looked at that. I've soaked them in oil for a period of 1 month to see what kind of artifacts and transformations that the film would undergo. Because of course the film strata of the film loops itself is made from oil. It is a proprietary material called ester. It's an ester-based 16-millimeter film that Kodak produces, which is a proprietary way of saying polyester, which is an early petrochemical. And so these kind of entanglements with the materials and components of our lives that I described very broadly just there, because I've explored them in many ways, from nylon stockings to mystical oil practices to particular plastics in many, many different ways. I'm interested in thinking about how oil participates in our ongoing materialization of self or of society. And there's a lot to that, and I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole that is maybe premature. But in the installation, what is now happening is the film loops are going to continue until they destroy themselves, and then they will no longer function as a way to think through a non-representational, rather a material process of thinking about what oil might be, or what it might be doing. In this case, it might be this particular representation of oil, which is the installation itself, is in a process of destroying itself. And that might be a more productive representation of oil than the representations of oil that I have turned into 16-millimeter films.
Raviv Gantrau, who is with us today, his work explores the interdependencies between sound, place, and listening, aspects of which are explored through installations, writing, and the development of pressure-forming and vibration-sensing technologies. His ongoing listening subjects project tests an ambient circuity whereby audibility, surroundings, and subjectivity are mutually conductive. He is currently a faculty member at the Institute of Sonology, University of the Arts, The Hague, and alumni of the Cooper Union in New York City.
All right, thanks very much. Hey, thanks everyone for showing up today. The subject of gas exchanges, so the idea that within every politics there is also a connection to both the territories and below the territories to minerals and to the rest of stuff in existence. So it was going through that side and looking into this one aspect that every second breath that we have on land, even if we live in landlocked countries, comes from oxygen that's produced in the oceans. And that oxygen that's produced in the oceans, you can't almost see. It's mostly microscopic little organisms. So this crazy thing about cyanobacteria originally, and this molecular structure that's able to take stuff from the sun and transform that into energy, and through that release oxygen. That's the stuff that everybody is actually relying on. So what I did is I looked into also this question of sensing that part of material reality, which in fact is taxpayer money that NASA sends up in satellites, and it's a specific sensor that I've kind of located on, and it's a 19-year data set. It's the longest running data set that's registering the color of oceans. And based on the color of oceans, understanding how much of this photosynthesizing material exists in the oceans. So it was looking at how this idea of projection of a world image and this idea that I think is inherently could be questioned in terms of who made us the custodians of the Earth in the first place. And where is this activity of breathing coming from? It goes back 2.4 billion years ago when, in fact, this algae first grew, which was a giant mass extinction that allowed for energy, oxygen metabolizing organisms to evolve. So sort of also going back to the prehistory of our own breathing and trying to understand the deeper connections, because this is a point at which plants are separating into animals. So this idea that the root it goes much further than just sentient beings moving around on land and trying to reconnect to these other essential mineralogy, I would say, which has nothing to do with extraction, but has to do with forming new relationships with those forms of materiality. So there's a sonification element. We can talk about it later. I think that's probably a good encapsulation. Good, thanks.
It is also my pleasure to introduce the last of the artists that I will be introducing, Codex Diagrams, the collective consisting of legal scholars, systems developers, blockchain coders, and digital graphic artists dedicated to participatory experiments with dynamisms of power, energy, governance, value, and legal concepts in the crypto space.
All right. So The Breath for Sale, 1,000 Breaths, is a first of its kind, a kind NFT installation, non-fungible token installation, developed in a collaboration between social justice advocates, Web3 developers, legal theorists, technical engineers, and digital artists. The question that the project addresses is, how can blockchain technology enable collective action for a social cause as urgent as a right to breathe? Engaging with such a controversial technology, a technology mainly discussed as an extreme form of financial speculation with little substance that is only making a few lucky ones very wealthy, means walking a thin line, especially when proposing that it should play a role in social activism. The Breath for Sale, 1,000 Breaths project is walking this line, utilizing Web3 tools to create and foster new forms of community empowerment. Far from providing all the answers, Breath for Sale is a mechanism that generates a participatory platform for working together on some of the most pressing social, environmental, economic, and legal challenges posed by breathing injustices in complexly entangled and increasingly digitalized worlds. Joining together 1,000 breaths, 1,000 stories of breathing injustices, the project aims at creating a registry of 1,000 contributions visualized into generative art pieces encoded as NFTs. The project furthermore aims at raising funds to further advance the Right to Breathe initiative. You will later be able to interact with the breathing device. We have it out. It will be after the formal program is over, and we'll help to facilitate that for anyone who is interested. And maybe also giving a little of a statement as to why they think this contribution would matter. And we are very proud to have collaborated and keep collaborating with Indrani and GK, who have gathered, photographed, and interviewed an impressive group of activists and artists who can speak to what a right to breathe could mean. Thank you.